Andrea Palmer, I read that you've always been musical and that music from the 60s and 70s just makes you happy. I did my homework. So you know that insider interviews can be kind of no holds barred. So even though you're president of Publicis Health Media, I still have to do this. Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
When you're with me, baby, the skies will be blue for all my life. Get it? That's like, we're so happy together. We're on the podcast.
I know. I grew up, my dad had this great jukebox in our basement for as long as I can remember. They still have it. So I grew up, instead of turning on the radio, we would be down in the basement plugging in the numbers to the 45s that we wanted to listen to. So that's how I got my musical start. And that I remember all road trips, you know, started and ended with oldies. So that's just the music that I always listen to.
I love that. We have something in common. My dad started as a radio DJ. Oh, wow. So, yep. And I remember those road trips. I should totally be singing R-E-S-P-E-C-T. So, all right, we're serious from here on out because you have a very impressive role at a very impressive agency. And I really want to talk about what's happening in marketing and healthcare marketing. Hey, it's E.B. Moss, and this is episode 18 of Insider Interviews about the media, marketing, and advertising industry. Today, my guest is someone who works in a space that's on a lot of our minds, healthcare. I'm really honored to have Andrea Palmer here. She is the president of Publicis Health Media. She's also been a media industry trailblazer for nearly 20 years. She's done things like created and launched HealthFront, which brings together industry leaders in tech, media, and content. And in May of 2019, she was named to PM360's Elite 100 in the strategy category. And this year, just recently, she was named to MM&M's Hall of Femme 2020. We love that. So without further ado, as they say, let's hear from Andrea Palmer. So in all seriousness, there's marketing and then there's healthcare marketing, and that's pretty specific. So how'd you get into that sector?
So it's interesting. I sort of happened into a little bit, but it came from a lot of different factors. First of all, my mom was a nurse. She was an ER nurse, and then she was a dermatological nurse for as long as I can remember. So I always had kind of that healthcare parent who had a lot of expertise, and I always fascinated by everything she knew. And then I actually was diagnosed at the age of 15 with a pediatric cancer, which was a crazy experience to go through in your freshman year of high school. But after that experience as a patient, at that time, there was no Google. Really, the internet was pretty modest at that time. So there wasn't a lot of self-learning that you could do. So I was 100% reliant on the oncologist and my mom and different experts and their live opinions. So I kind of went into college thinking I would be pre-med. I thought I had a personal experience, a personal reason to kind of give back in the medical community. But after taking my first marketing class as an elective, that became something that I was really personally interested in and attracted to, maybe even more so than the pre-med path that I had initially started to pursue. But I thought that there might be an opportunity or a way to kind of pursue a career in healthcare, but instead of being a doctor, actually being a marketing professional in the healthcare space. So it gives me that opportunity to really make an impact and help deliver those meaningful relationships to HCPs, to patients, and certainly bringing them together.
What a great answer. And I'm sorry that that's how you had to, you know, discover this passion or this need, I should say. But it sounds like it might have ended up being the best of both worlds for you. And what was on your path before you landed as president of PHM? Were there any other aha moments?
Sure. I've been in Publicis Group and specifically in health for 13 plus years. So I absolutely took a path along to get to the president. However, I started on a department. We were a very small department, maybe 10 people when I first started back in 2008 at Digitas Health. We were a small media team. Media was kind of a secondary capability, I think, even at that time. But over time, we grew so much to the point where I was part of the founding membership of PHM back in 2014. And I moved to Chicago to be the general manager of Chicago and the senior vice president, where I was tasked with building a presence in a new city. So that was exciting. I was getting to exercise my management chops, my leadership chops, you know, kind of the visionary growth and strategy. And after a few years, I was elevated to the chief strategy officer and took that opportunity to, you know, from where I grew Chicago from 0 to 100 in like 2 years, to really kind of transcend across all of our offices and really grow the strategic vision and the practice overall. So I think now as the president of the agency, I get to use my voice and the authority in different ways. I get to kind of guide and set the tone for the whole agency in new ways. And I can have that platform. I can be an advocate for our clients and for patients and for our teams and for the work that we do on their behalf, because I believe that we've got the best team in the business. So it's an honor to be representing them and all of the challenges that they've overcome and how they've really done great work.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that they are very proud to have someone who has been awarded for her strategy and cares so much about the team. And speaking of using one's voice, I will say that because this is, you know, work from home kind of scenario, we do hear Cooper in the background a little bit, which is so cute. Cooper, if you couldn't tell, is a dog. What is he?
He is a miniature Bernedoodle. He's 7 months. He was my COVID purchase.
Oh.
And he's very cute, but he likes to talk when it's not his turn.
I can relate. I often interrupt, so sorry about that as well. All right, Cooper, I'll give her back in about 30 minutes. So, look, I know that privacy is a big deal in healthcare and also in marketing, but I kind of want to dive into some of those favorite initiatives, or at least what you can speak about generally that you do for PHM clients. And any examples or any names you want to drop, feel free.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, our mission statement is really to reimagine media for health. And what that means is being first and being only and having, you know, setting the tone and the pace for the industry at large. And what with that comes, you know, too many examples to even count. Our people are 100% dedicated to this industry and health and wellness, which makes all the difference in the world. That means the data that we buy, that means the partnerships that we solidify, that means the way that we work with the supplier community and the media world to come up with new products that not only could sort of work in healthcare if we apply them, but are really built for healthcare. So big ideas, new marketing methods, tools, that's kind of inherent to what we do. We were first to launch a pharma campaign on TikTok. I'm just thinking about this year.
Really?
Yeah, believe it or not. We partnered with a pretty big voice in the African-American community, Twitch. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
So he was a great partner and a perfect fit for the TikTok platform and for our clients' business. So that was a big deal. We've always had a history of being first and kind of going to the marketplace to buy what's not for sale and to find things that just haven't come to fruition, because it's not easy. You know, as you said before, there's marketing and there's healthcare marketing. So there's TikTok, and then there's TikTok for pharma, and then there's TikTok for oncology. So when you think about a platform like a TikTok, like some of the newer social media channels, obviously they're relevant for culture. So that's something that's in the news. It's something that the young people are using. It's something that is absolutely a contemporary communications channel, but it wouldn't necessarily be thought about for healthcare. So we've been able to take things like that and make them super relevant, not only for, you know, culture, but for healthcare. And that's kind of what we pride ourselves on, is being able to understand both the human trends and the healthcare trends and how to put those together to deliver really great work.
It was so, I don't know if this is too cliche to say this, but you've certainly got your finger on the pulse. See how I did that? Yeah. I'm sure you've never heard that before. But you know, you were talking about some of the first that PHM does. And one of the things that I read about, which is very cool, is that you're kind of known for predicting health trends and you have something called the disruptors list. Mm-hmm. It's got some interesting things on that. You want to talk about that?
Sure, absolutely. We've been doing that for a few years. As I said, it's important that we've got fingers on the pulse for both media, for human behavior, and for healthcare. When we published our annual disruptors list early this year, no one really could have foreseen what happened in just a few short months later. Obviously, we've had an unprecedented year in health, so the core issues and trends remain the same. But we even had to republish that piece, which was called The Disruptors Were Disrupted. So, you know, even the predictors can't entirely predict what's going to happen in a time like we're in right now. But yeah, the disruptors are meant to understand kind of that intersection of culture and humanity and healthcare and technology and understand how all of those things together ultimately change the way people experience health and to change the way access occurs and changes the relationship between the various stakeholders. It's no secret that the healthcare industry has been evolving and will continue to evolve. It's one of the fastest changing industries that we live in.
Necessarily. So what are some of the disruptors that are on the list?
So on last year's list or this upcoming list?
Well, you know, if it's breaking news, I'll take what you think is coming up. Bring it.
Well, we haven't totally finalized that one yet, but I think it's safe to say we've seen a huge shift in how consumers are accessing and trusting information. One of our big trends this past year, and we'll certainly find a way to continue it into next year, is the accelerated need for content to be produced truthfully and verifiably. Content with a conscience is one of those things that we talked about. You know, it doesn't do anyone any good if the sources of information are not accurate or verified. So another one would be the focus on technology and how new trends like telehealth, what the role of things like that become. I read something even just this morning that's kind of positioning telehealth as it's not an either or, but it's an and how technology like that can help change the relationship between healthcare providers and enhance the relationship that they have through telehealth for that more regular connection. We're in such a pivot point that I think all of these things together, it provides opportunity. It also provides a lot of excitement because, you know, nothing we're doing now, you know, I couldn't have predicted this 5 years ago.
I heard a few things in there that I think are a through line with many of the conversations that I had. Trust, content, new technology. And, you know, if you look at just that one thing that you mentioned, like telehealth, how does an agency like yours market to consumers who don't trust or who are apprehensive about embracing telehealth, even though we kind of have to?
Yeah. Well, I think with a telehealth, part of it, to your point, is going to be needs-based. So at some juncture when, you know, the world is to some extent on pause, people still need healthcare. It takes time for those things to reach mass saturation and mass acceptance. But, you know, the more recognizable suppliers that come into the space, I think the more comfortable people start to get with it. I'll give you an example. There's a ton of these startup telemedicine providers, telehealth providers, teleprescribing, et cetera. And they've actually existed for some time. And certainly they have a share, but you know who people are starting to turn to figure the telehealth challenge out is Zoom. You know, Zoom is not known for healthcare. Zoom is obviously a telecom platform. So it's things like that. 10 years ago, would we have predicted Amazon was going to be in healthcare? Probably not.
Right.
It's the way that the world and the way that the different sectors are blending together to, you know, solve this bigger problem, which is accessing healthcare in a world where in-office and in-person visits are, at best case scenario, altered, worst case scenario, impossible.
Yeah. And I read something that you had written, or I think you were interviewed about before, about, and you called it the challenge, I think, of the informed patient. And there are those who may or may not visit Dr. Google first. Mm-hmm. Not saying I'm one or not. I know that you wished you could have when you were 15. So that's, you know, sort of were needs based on that too. But how can a Publicis Health Media help its clients with being the resource instead of Dr. Google? How do you help your clients that way with the quote unquote informed patient?
Well, so I think actually we just have to embrace the informed patient, and we have to make sure that our clients, our brands are being involved in the informing. It's the challenge and it's the opportunity. There's actually some really great ways to do that and some aha moments that we've had over the years, but it's also a really scary thought. If Dr. Google starts the dialogue and these influencers and editorial staff has carte blanche to write whatever they feel, and it's, you know, the polarizing opinions and stuff. We see it in politics, we see it in healthcare, we see it virtually everywhere. Everyone's got an opinion. And it's really important in healthcare that that information is factual, it's backed in data, that it comes from a reputable source, that it's been properly evaluated from the medical perspective, and it's not coming from somebody's opinion that's based on non-facts. So I think what we've spent a lot of time on over the last year or so is defining that concept of content with a conscience. It's our responsibility in the publishing and media community to ensure that the suppliers, the publishers that we're working with and aligning our brand's content with is content that's accurate, that's factual, and that we're helping get people to that information instead of trying to be the only source. I think it's unrealistic for brand marketers to think that they're one of the only voices in the room. I think that the voice in the room comes from wherever Google drives them or wherever they're getting to online. That can be a great thing because you end up with better informed patients who make faster decisions. It can also be a dangerous thing if they're not getting the right information. So we have a responsibility and a duty as marketers. That's what we do, is to help make sure that the right information is getting out there and getting triaged to people as they're looking, so that we're getting credible information into their hands instead of leaving them to their own devices.
Thank you. On behalf of everyone, thank you for trying to do that. And by the way, it was not lost on me that you used the word triaged. So the fact that I said finger on the pulse, I get a pass.
Fair.
Okay. So you've, I think, introduced something called validated by, which is along those lines.
Yeah.
Explain what that is. Not everybody did their homework like me.
Oh, I'm glad that you asked that. So validated, we soft launched in 2019 at our health front, which I imagine we'll talk about a little later. So validated by is a mechanism. Think about, you know, the way that you, when you take your car in for an inspection, there's a number of points that they have to pass before it can pass inspection. So validated by is a similar mechanism that allows us as PHM to validate which publishers are actually following all the rules to make sure that we can confirm the veracity of the information that our clients are advertising, make sure that they've got the right cadence between updating information and checking their facts and all that stuff. So it's a device that we've developed as a tool to help us make sure that the publishers that we're recommending for not only advertising, but content partnerships, to help that we can feel really good about the validity of that content.
Again, I think that that's raising the bar for everyone. Now, speaking of raising the bar, we clearly have to do a better job on communicating to marginalized communities, to people of color, to all constituents. And in my last episode, I spoke to Marissa Solis of Frito-Lay, and we talked about their effort to raise money for the Hispanic community, because that community is disproportionately affected by COVID-19. So how are you advising your clients? What kind of approaches are you taking or recommending to help ensure that health messaging is communicated well and heard well by people of color?
Yeah. So it's a huge problem. And I think if COVID's done anything, it's brought the disparity right into the limelight, which is important and really. As much as I'm not really happy that it's true, I am really happy that it's being talked about. There's been a ton of focus on it nationally, and it's certainly overdue. So I think if you look at it, it's never been a secret that there's health disparity, either from the social determinants of health or simply, you know, community distrust or differences in community, in, you know, the BIPOC communities, Latinx communities. Every single person has a different experience with healthcare, with their past, with their present, with their physicians, how faith plays a role or doesn't play a role, how family plays a role or doesn't play a role, what neighborhood they grew up in, you know, what doctors they've seen, what they've experienced. I've heard crazy stories from, you know, well-educated, well-to-do Black women who have gone in and received inferior care than their white female counterparts, you know, in a very visible way. And it's crushing because you see it and you know that it's become so systemic and it can't be changed easily, but it can be changed. I think the recent death of Chadwick Boseman from colon cancer advanced the conversation about how that disease is more prevalent among people of color. There's just been so much evidence, gosh, forever, but it's been in the limelight for the last year or so, that I think we have an opportunity and a responsibility to really think about how we need to change. And I always use the term, we can't just market to the mean, because there really isn't a mean in healthcare if we try to generalize and make a single segmentation or start to generalize and build marketing for the most common and least common denominator in healthcare. We won't succeed because it's inevitably going to leave out patient populations who do have a different experience because of their background or because of their ethnicity, because of their race, because of their where they grew up, because of all these different factors. We have to start to treat marketing for the patients instead of trying to do it for the best one size fits all type of approach that is easy to fall into.
Well, I keep wanting to say thank you. I love your attitude, and I'm so glad that you are leading one of the major agencies in this area, because you know, it's important to communicate this. You know, I'm glad that you also mentioned Chadwick Boseman, because just as you candidly shared your experience with pediatric cancer, I'll also share here that both of my parents had colon cancer before they were even 40 years old. And my mom, in fact, passed away when she was 39, the same age as Chadwick. But children of cancer survivors are sort of predisposed to know that we have to get screened young and more frequently. Is there any kind of mechanism for getting more people, even old school physicians, to be more aggressive in some screenings? What kind of PSA work are you doing? So it's not just by communities that need it, but it's also by those who could be victim of certain diseases.
Yeah. Yeah, high-risk populations. So that's a tricky question because it's so contingent upon the funded initiatives that are out there and how to prioritize those initiatives in the context. But I will say that advocacy for patients and, you know, awareness around pre-screening and screening for various types of, you know, high-risk populations, I can think of a number of different types of therapeutic areas that we've done it for. It's always a balance. If you potentially spend more to get people on the preventative care versus the acute care side, you could theoretically save a lot of lives in a different way. So it's not an easy answer. We do quite a bit of work in that space. It is also a space that I think has more room to grow. A lot of times the advocacy, patient advocacy, comes from nonprofit work. Sometimes it comes from collaborations between a number of different manufacturers that have products that address an illness that once it's already diagnosed in some sort of a consortium. But it's done in so many different ways. It's tough to give you a single answer on that.
Well, I don't know that there's any single answer to this one either, but health technology has really had to evolve rapidly with social distancing and everything else that's going on. So are you seeing any hope with any innovation?
Yeah, I mean, I think coronavirus has so dramatically impacted the doctor-patient relationship, it's hard to count the ways. Obviously, as I talked about before, the biggest is the reduction or even in some cases the elimination of the in-person visits, especially in non-urgent, and I put that in air quotes since I recognize that this is audio only. But for those of us in healthcare marketing, it means that we need to find new ways to kind of replace or complement that relationship. It also means sales reps can't make their standard in-person calls. Materials that normally are delivered in-person or as leave-behinds are distributed to patients, patient ed materials. All of that stuff, we've got to rethink. It affects conferences and congresses. Everything is being adjusted. If there ever has been a blueprint, that blueprint is ultimately been torn up and thrown out the window at this juncture. As I mentioned before, telehealth is certainly an example, proven critical in the crisis. It's been an option when an option didn't formally exist to deliver that care in time when somebody might require physical distance. I've been kind of an advocate of telehealth for as long as we've had it, but I've used it a couple of times over the course of this, even when I knew I didn't have COVID, but I knew I had some sort of, you know, something that could be like a respiratory infection I had a couple of months ago. So
you had something icky.
I did. I had something icky.
It's a professional term.
So I think the FDA has fast-tracked reviews and approval of everything from telehealth guidelines to COVID-19. I think that that is an indicator that the industry is sort of rising to the challenge. Typically, you know, this stuff takes a long time to change, but I think that the situation that we're in is kind of forcing that change. This has been accelerating. And if you think about it, innovation in pharma and pharma marketing has really never been this, you know, change has never really been in this high of demand. Last year in 2019, we had our first health front. I mentioned that before. One of the things that we put into Health Front was a Shark Tank style pitch session called the Disruption Garage. We've been following up and working with some of those innovators, those innovative companies that were there and hearing great things from them. There's a lot of additional healthcare startups that are emerging to kind of solve some of these challenges of industry dynamics that need a little bit of innovation. A lot of the behemoths that are out there aren't going to necessarily be the ones to solve these challenges. But some of these startups that are focusing on these unique and individual nuances are really coming up with great ideas. I look forward to how some of those startups become the future behemoths.
Now, in the health front, do you have people who are willing to invest in some of those young buck startups?
Yeah, that was the genesis behind the Disruption Garage, which ultimately Validus was the company that won the 2019 startup, which came with a package of about $1 million worth of support. Not all cash, some in terms of like strategic support, marketing support, media weight, etc. But it was a high value, about $1 million. Colin, my chief investment officer, sat down with Validus just a few weeks ago to talk about, you know, how they've seen that impact their business. And it was, they've seen tremendous growth. So yeah, we've got internal people at Publicis, at PHM, across Publicis Health, within our technology space that have kind of spent time and actual money and a ton of time to help to really invest in, you know, making these organizations thrive, which is exciting to see.
I would take $1 million, so I better start thinking of something.
Yeah, exactly. And all you need is a really brilliant healthcare startup.
Okay. Speaking of disruptors and startups and fresh thinking, in terms of the world of advertising and media, I know that you participated in TikTok, for example, a lot. Are there disruptors out there that really intrigue you? Like, oh, say, podcasting? By the way, we did say that this is one of your first times in the hot seat, right?
Yeah, it is. I have to say this is my first time on air, but I am a huge podcast listener, I suppose, and advocate, but I've listened to them for entertainment purposes and for education purposes and for edutainment purposes, if you will. But I think this trend is just, you know, getting started. I think it's actually one of the areas that we have developed product around. So one of our maker products were designed to help advance content for health and to help bring the media publishing community in closer for how to develop products that delivered that great content at scale. And Maker Sound was one of our very first launched products where we do have a focus on bringing podcasting more to the forefront because it's such a big channel. And especially now, I think that the podcast listenership is just through the roof. We are fully invested in making podcast the next it girl for
I love that. I've never heard of podcasting called the It Girl. That's it. So just to kind of bring this home a little bit, we started with your path to healthcare marketing. It is a tough job market out there. And for those who want to enter the marketing world in general or any Andrea wannabes, what do you recommend?
Oh, gosh. I mean, marketing is a big field. So there's, I guess, understand that it's dynamic and it's fast paced. And there's a huge opportunity to be creative. What's been really interesting for me, and I've had a lot of conversations with some of the younger people on our team who kind of thought that they wanted to be in creative. And I always say, like, media is the other creative, just because you're not the one designing the ads and doing the physical campaign work. You know, a lot of the way that people are consuming content isn't just consuming the ads. So think big, think about the big picture, think big, not in terms of what people tell you has been done in the past, but think about what could be done in the future and what would we need to get there. It's kind of my mantra and always has been, you know, just because nobody's done it before doesn't mean it can't be done. That comes through in our vision, that comes through in our mission statement, that comes through in how we go to market, how we come up with our ideas, how we build our tools. And it can be a really exciting career path, I think. For all of the naysayers who believe that there's no innovation in healthcare, that couldn't be less true. I mean, healthcare is one big innovation all the time. So it's our job to continue to push the market to innovate ahead of it, or at least alongside of it. That means new channels, that means new tactics, new ideas, new voices, new outcomes. We're always pushing for innovation. So think about, you know, the industry at large, what you're passionate about, you know, find something that can align with your passions and give you that stage to feel, you know, good about going to work every day and to feel exciting and energized about what you get to work on, because that's a lot of your adult lifetime.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, right. So you should be able to do something that aligns to your passions and interests, as well as obviously your skill sets.
That actually inspires me to bookend this with another song. I got to do it. I got to do it. The future of healthcare, what you're going to do in the near term, and then what you would crystal ball. So many years from now, boom, 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 boom. When you're 64, you've got many years before you're 64. But what do you think is the world's going to be like in the near term and then the far term with healthcare marketing?
That's hard to predict. Definitely more big changes to come in 2021. I will be sharing my thoughts in the coming months with our subsequent disruptors, 2021 style. We will continue to focus on the disparities in healthcare for sure. It has to be actionable. I think being part of the solution is going to be important. So a lot to date this year, I've talked a lot about just kind of surfacing some of the disparities, surfacing some of the issues. And now it's about putting our money where our mouth is and investing and kind of trying to figure out not only that it's there, but what we can do tangibly to help to move us forward.
And not just put a Band-Aid on it. Yeah, I got one in there. Andrea Palmer, do you want to sing us out or are you good?
I don't think I need to sing. I don't think anyone needs to hear that.
Well, thank you so much, Andrea Palmer, president of Publicis Health Media, PHM, with lots of thoughts about the future and ways to fix the present. Thank you so much for being here on Insider Interviews.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Well, I hope you got some good inside scoop from this episode of Insider Interviews with me, E.B. Moss. And I also hope that you'll rate, review, subscribe wherever you download your podcasts. You know the drill, Apple, Stitcher, Google, iHeart. Thanks again for listening.